Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
Hello and welcome back to Boys Lunch, two Catholic teachers discussing life. Fresh into this new Lenten season, this is Joey and Paul for your listening ears.
Hey, if you ever want to get in contact with us, you can always reach us at boyslunch1@gmail.com. You can also follow us on What Is It Dead Instagram right now. We have not done a thing since we got the password back from intern Casey. Speaking of which, if you would like to maybe add something to your resume, maybe an internship, and you're going into maybe media of some sort and you would like to assist, please do not be afraid to reach out to boyslunch1@gmail.com looking for a new intern to do literally anything with that.
Yeah, preferably like someone of like millennial and younger age.
Wow. She told me my dad couldn't run our Instagram page.
Take that, Mr. Rayburn.
I do want to also send some thank yous out because I don't know if, you've all read the new Central Catholic Magazine. But there were some additional...
What, the announcement of my daughter's birth?
Yes, and my godson's. And why is it always about you? Anyway, that's true. That was, you were heavily featured.
Yeah, sorry.
I want to say thank you to Andrew and Lacey Bordewick, who donated to Central Catholic on behalf or in honor of Boys Lunch Podcast.
Love it.
I would be curious to know if whether or not he told Lacey he was going to do that or vice versa, if they both knew and were aware of that. But
she sees it. She's like, honey, what'd you do?
Maybe she did it to surprise him.
Nice.
Who knows? And then also Ashley Miller and Teddy Johnson also donated in honor of Boys Lunch.
Ashley seems a little forced. I don't think you really meant that. Just going to put it out there.
Yeah. Maybe prove it again next year.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
it again.
Coming back. Magi. Okay.
But again, thank you to all those.
That Ashley's donated. Finishing up college. There's a whole little... group of kids finishing up. That's weird.
It is kind of crazy.
I mean, that happens every year, but
that's how time works.
Best of luck to you, Ashley. And Teddy's got a long time.
I think he's...
You'll be fine, Teddy. You got time to figure it out. Who did I see? I just saw Connell.
Connell Rhodes?
Yeah.
Nice. How's he doing?
Classic Connell.
Classic.
It was awesome.
Don Mathewson reached out recently. Kate Morris reached out recently. So, yeah, we're hearing from some people, so we appreciate it.
He goes, huh? You guys still doing that podcast? I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah, I'm not listening, but that's awesome. Then he asks, he goes, do you think, is Frank still listening? Frank Gallucci? I'm like, I don't know, Connell. But yeah, we had a good conversation.
I'll have to ask Frankie, see if he's still listening.
Yeah.
Speaking of coaches, Frank coaches hockey. Yeah. When that's a transition. When you think of famous basketball coaches, Joey, who comes to mind? For me, it's maybe Jim Calhoun, Pat Summitt. Who else? Bulls.
Fred Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg. Oh, jeez. Phil Jackson, of course.
Yeah. Bill Self.
Bill Self. I mean, some just some classic great coaches out there. Would you put yourself in that category?
Yeah, I'm on Mount Rushmore. Over there.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. We're wrapping up our season.
Yeah, you've got one game left. We were fortunate enough to be able to watch you and Cisco last week at the Wild Ball. It was pretty good. You look comfortable out there.
I like natural out there. You can say it. I was natural.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Encouraging, but not too encouraging. Yeah. Excited, but not too excited. A little hard on them, but not too hard.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I just sat there for 5 minutes, and I would have ran through.
You said, "Is that Coach K? Who is that?"
Yeah, I didn't think it was weird that you wore a 3-piece suit to a Y game, but other than that,
in like the fourth of a court that we were playing on, yeah.
What if you had you should have had some of your small group boys also dress up, and then just you have like a 4 or 5 deep coaching staff. They got clipboards.
I'm like looking at asking them for advice.
You got somebody passing out Gatorade behind all the kids.
I've got about 11 or 12. Practices under my belt. This is our, I don't know how many games we play actually. I have no clue, but this is our last game tomorrow.
I mean, it's all about the next game and the next practice.
Yeah, we had our last practice last night. Did a little grown-ups versus kids, a classic for our last practice.
Yeah, how'd you hang? Or did you coach?
You know, I felt bad because the dads were going pretty hard against the kids. And it got to a point where we were just demolishing them. So I kind of stopped. I was just trying to help the kids a little bit, but I was like, hey, do you guys just want to do, kids now, and they're all like, no, we want to keep doing it. I'm like, well, they're blocking every shot and dunking on you, so I just don't know if you're having fun.
The kids
right
still
now.
Want it. Okay.
Yeah.
It's amazing how, and maybe we talked about this when it was my daughter's last one, soccer practice in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible I was just, these parents that you've seen sit on the sidelines at practices all just come alive.
Yeah. Like, what? Some of the dads was like, when I was like, hey, you guys want to come out and play it all? And like one of them was like, yes, absolutely. And like came out.
He had tearaway pants.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, it was cool. It was a good experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's the start of Lent. This is our, we're about the 2 podcasts per month now. I would say, get used to that, people. What if it still says every Monday-ish, it's really kind of twice a month. But
it really is quality over quantity.
Yes, that's what we're trying to focus on, just really narrowing in. But we just started Lent, right?
That is correct, really.
As I've said it about a third time.
Lent. It has begun.
We've had some podcasts before about Lent, if you want to go back and listen to some of that.
There's some classics.
Yeah, my wife and I did one called Wife Joins Podcast.
Still
question mark
number one listen to podcast.
And then you and I did one about why would I give something up. So I think those are more of like a more classical kind of some inspiration if you're looking for something for Lent, if you haven't listened to us forever. This one I had a good little blurb from Bishop Barron that I thought was kind of interesting.
It's weird
to chew on.
I thought you were gonna say Dostoevsky.
There was just like cool line
So
basically during Lent, where he says, we apprentice Jesus in the 40-day sojourn in the desert. Like it is this period of being in a desert. He said, we stubbornly stay with him, doing what he did there, facing what he faced. And this was the line that stuck out to me. The desert is the place of clarification. Things are going to become clear if you willingly enter the desert. Because he says, when we have been stripped of the relatively trivial desires that preoccupy us, we can see with a somewhat disturbing clarity who we essentially are and what most pressingly matters.
Wow.
When we're stripped from these trivial desires that always preoccupy us, we see, and I like this as a disturbing clarity, who we are and what pressingly matters. He says, if we spend most of our life seeking distractions because we cannot bear the weight of the great questions. It came from Blaise Pascal.
Wow.
He says that when you go to the desert, you seek this clarification. As you start to see things clearly, then you have to start to make decisions in your life. And with decisions then follows this mission. That's what we see within Christ's life. I think Lent is, I often just think about my own like story and sacrifice during Lent. I don't always relate it to Christ's journey. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that the case with you as well? So I thought that was a kind of a thing, like we are going in with him, modeling what he did. He got clarity. He stripped himself away from these distractions. He had to make decisions. He was tempted by Satan. He decided what was good and what was right and just. Pushed through, powered through, and that made it so he could do mission. In that theme, I think of like trying to live our life like Christ. It seems silly that that's not in my mind all the time, but that was maybe something I wanted to hit on today in a different way.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful way to think about it too, because maybe we get hyper-focused on what am I going to do for Lent. We lose the plot. We don't understand that, right? The whole purpose and reason for this is not only just to like form better habits or get rid of some things, but like what's the purpose behind it? And again, it is to attain that clarity, to walk with Christ, to understand the mission, what's truly important in life, and what things are getting in the way of that. So that's a kind of a beautiful way
to summarize. I think that what you said, we lose the plot sometimes. Like, why are we doing this? It's not just because we do it every year. Like there was an intention of why they started to begin with.
It's not just challenge accepted. Oh, you think I can't give that up? Oh, I'll give
40 days of fasting. Like it should click, but it doesn't always click for us. Like, we are entering in with Christ to model Christ so that we can resurrect or celebrate in that resurrection later. But yeah.
Nice.
Now Dostoevsky said, I've been sitting on this for about 2 months. There was a small section of the Brothers Karamazov that really hit me. That had to do with this idea of being Christ-like and how all of us in different ways are almost stripped down and follow kind of this motif of his life where we have to die to self and die for others and to give our life to others to actually find meaning. That was a big line of Vatican II that John Paul had a big say in, was this man truly finds himself in a sincere gift of himself. And it sounds so profound, and sometimes I know what it means and sometimes I don't know what it means. But I think through my life and what we've mentioned before, as we've grown older, we've become more accustomed to that passion that is necessary, that stripping down of the walls that's necessary, the acceptance of it's not about me, it's about someone else, and taking on the weight and problems of other people sometimes, or offering up prayers for those other people, doing things on behalf of other people that like we've found fulfillment in.
And I think we do that with the students. We try to help show them that a great moment in our maturity, and when we kind of shift both spiritually and in just how we contribute to society, is that shift of it's not about me all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not so. It's I'm living for someone else. My life is about what can I give of the gifts that I've received out into the world. How can I and join with others in this mission?
Yeah, and last podcast we were talking about some poetry that we both enjoyed, and those moments that I made a mention to Dimitri and his the violent blow that happened to him was him being accused of his father's murder and being interrogated by police, and he needed the kind of this stripping down of a lot of his pride of himself and things in his life to finally see with clarity. He says, I finally started to see this, and I didn't really go more. I want to get to the other part of that and relate it to this life of like, how can I find meaning in life, meaning in suffering, meaning in existence, and find joy in the sorrow? And I think that was what he portrayed so beautifully in these characters in this, because I feel like if you've listened to the podcast recently, I feel like I have been a little bit open and vulnerable about like the different things I'm working through.
Yeah.
As a husband, as a father, as a teacher, as just a grown up.
Yeah.
When reality kind of hits you more and there's things that you realize you need to work through. That there is a lot of, there is sorrow, there is sacrifice, there is suffering, but there's so much joy in the midst of all that. Mm-hmm. It's learning how to discern that.
Yeah. And then coming to the awareness of the great need in others is also can sometimes be, that can hurt. Mm-hmm. There could be a sadness there, but it transforms.
Yeah.
Right. In that suffering, there's a transformation, a turning outwards that I think is quite beautiful that is shown in this work.
Yeah. There was just a really meaningful passage, and I'll quickly share the passage, and then I think we're going to kind of riff on more like how does that apply to our lives and maybe mm-hmm. your guys' lives as well. Yeah.
A lot of plurals there. You nailed
your guys' lives. There's a really cool setup, like I was saying, when he's being interrogated for the murder of his father that he didn't do. It is just like this Christ-like passion of like a scourging at the pillar. They literally strip him of his clothes, and he's humiliated, and they have him admitting things in his life, and he's really faced with a lot of these. And he finally gets kind of this dream of almost, I think, why suffering can matter, why his existence can matter. Things start to click for him, that he's actually willing to helps the people in his lives. He has this dream of people that are very poor, like living in poverty. He has these questions of like, why are they that way, and what can I do about it? Almost, mm-hmm. it's this click in him that like, of turning outward, of being Christ-like, of finding meaning in existence and suffering. And he has this conversation with his brother later, where he says, I've been wanting to tell you forever what's been going on within me. I haven't said a word about what matters most, but I can wait no longer. I must pour out my heart to you. These last 2 months, I found in myself a new man. A new man has risen up in me. He was hidden in me, but would never have come to the surface if it hadn't been for this blow from heaven. I'm afraid, and what do I care if I spend 20 years in the mines breaking out ore with a hammer? I'm not a bit afraid of that. It's something else, that new man may leave me. Even there in the mines underground, I may find this human heart. Basically, I want to start with that part. We've both had these experiences. I think that's what last podcast was about. We found this new person inside of us. This new spirit. And it's really kind of that Christian spirit, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not putting on myself. I start to put on Christ, mm-hmm. right? Becoming more Christ-like. Have you had those feelings of fear that man will leave you?
Yeah. And I think there's a new assurance that what I'm doing is right. And this is the path that I want to live. But you know how fleeting those things can be. And maybe that confirmation, that yearning of the heart is something that you recognize it's so good, and you desperately don't want it to leave. And there's that fear that like, I've made this realization, but life's going to keep coming at me. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm still a fallen individual who will still seek what is not good sometimes. And I don't want it to escape me. I've recognized, I've found, right, this pearl of great price, and I'd almost do anything, right, to not lose it.
And he's more afraid of losing that new man than he is afraid of being 20 years, like serving in a prison in the mines.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll suffer the rest of his life as long as he can hold on to this one, this recognition of the good that he's found.
Because in this, he says, as he dreamed about these poor people, specifically there was this like little baby that was cold, it wasn't being fed, and it was crying, and he just like couldn't get this image of this babe out of his mind. And he realizes like, because I have found the meaning, that there is a God, that there is a purpose for me, I'm willing to take what is sentenced to me. I'm willing to go to the mines, because now what I want to do is I want to do this on behalf of the babe. I want to do it on behalf of all those who suffer. I want to do it on behalf of the people that are with me down there. Because down there, I'm going to be crying out this echo to you, God, because even down underground, you cannot hide from me, or I cannot hide from you, and you are there present within me, because there is this new man within me. And he says, we shall be in chains and there will be no freedom, but then in our great sorrow, we shall rise again to joy, without which man cannot live nor God exist. For God gives joy. It's his privilege. If they drive God from the earth, we shall shelter him underground. And then men underground will sing from the bowels of the earth a glorious hymn to God, with whom is joy. Hail to God and his joy. I love him. He's starting to understand, like, oh, I missed a line that I wanted to say. He says, it's for the babe I'm going, because we are all responsible for all. Like, I'm doing this for them, because I see some responsibility in my life now that I'm supposed to partake in the salvific mission of Christ. Mm-hmm. As he took on the sins of the world and died on our behalf, I can participate in that mission. By using this suffering in my life, these hard times, these trying times, offering that up in unison with that. Mm-hmm. Going to that desert with him, like I was saying in Lent. Not wasting these opportunities. And for him to see that, like, he's like, tomorrow I might not even say anything at the trial. I might just take this because I want to suffer, because I see that there is so much more value in that than everything else that I was chasing. Anything so far?
Yeah.
Do you want me to do the existence line, or do you want to riff off of this?
I think, well, for that, just a quick thought that came to mind is Cain's line to God, am I my brother's keeper? Mm. Right? This idea that when we see suffering in the world, or if there's something that's befallen another, the tendency can be for us to disassociate from that and to be like, well, I mean, that's not me. That's tough for them. That type of thing. His recognition of this desire to suffer for others, he sees an injustice. And while maybe he can't bring warmth to this babe, he desires to in some small way, give of himself mm-hmm. to try to undo this great injustice, or this fallen reality that we live in. That can I offer a part of myself in some small reparation for the suffering of others? Like this beauty and the recognition that, like, that perhaps there's something, you know, perhaps I'm unable to rid the world, of course, mm-hmm. Of evil and suffering, but can I do my part in sharing what I've been given so that others may know love, joy, and mm-hmm. peace?
Yeah, can I find meaning in this?
Yeah.
And I think he is, yeah. He says, I'm not afraid of suffering. He said, what is suffering? I'm not afraid of it. I was afraid of it before. I have such strength in me now. I think I could stand anything, any suffering, only to be able to say and to repeat to myself every moment I exist. In thousands of agonies, I exist. I'm tormented on the rack, but I exist. Though I sit alone in a pillar, I exist. I see the sun, and if I don't see the sun, I know it's there. And there's a whole life in that, and knowing that the sun is there. I don't know. It's. I think that we have, maybe in a more drawn out process of our lives, we've come to that conclusion that the sun is there, even if I can't see it, mm-hmm. that I exist, and that's a good thing, and there's meaning in my life, even when I don't always feel it. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps us driving forward and leads us, or it keeps us away from the nihilism yep. and the depression of, like, nothingness.
And the cynic that we had talked about in a previous podcast, yeah. this keeps coming to mind. Like, what can I do with this suffering? How can I turn this, right? And how can I find purpose and meaning in it?
And how much joy, honestly, have I found from suffering? And that's so crazy to say.
Yeah.
And maybe my suffering doesn't relate to the suffering that other people have gone through. But I was kind of talking to you about this. I think the process of growing up, when you start to turn towards others, and you have to die to yourself, mm-hmm. right? You have to start to get rid of the things that maybe you've been attached to through your life and the way that you've been living your life. The hobbies, your routines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Marriage is a good example of this. When we entered this vocation, the way I was living my life in South Dakota by myself right. was a lot different than when, like, my wife and I got married and we were in our apartment together. Mm-hmm. I can't spend all day doing nothing because that's not helpful for me or for my wife.
Right.
And so in some way, the lazy Saturdays that I was accustomed to my entire life are kind of stripped away from me. And sometimes in the back of your mind, you're like, oh man, it'd be really nice to not have to do anything today. Mm-hmm. But would it really? We've talked about those times where our families are away and, like, you kind of get excited, like some free time and me time. But then, like, later that night, you're like, wow, this is kind of,
I miss
feel
them.
Awful.
I feel worthless. Or yeah, like, I got nothing done. What? Yeah.
But this stripping down can be tough. I think I've been struggling the past few months because I have a lot of expectations for what our family should be doing and the things that we're participating in. And we've just been sick a lot. We've been missing out on things. And I just like it, I'm carrying it with me. I'm getting like self-pity, just like, oh my gosh, another thing that we have to miss. Like, this is terrible. And like, I'm being hard on myself, but it's a lot of my expectations of what our family needs to do, mm-hmm. not like what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Or why we do these things in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, to grow as a family or to draw closer together. And that even in sickness and in suffering, that is not lost, mm-hmm. right? And it's difficult for us in those trying moments to remember that, to mm-hmm. remember what is the purpose of my vocation as a father, as a family, what do we do, what are we meant to be? And yeah, when you think that we're supposed to be doing this event and it gets canceled because we have illness, it's so easy to be drawn inward and be like, this isn't what it's meant to be. Why, yeah. God, you know, mm-hmm. when in reality, like, it doesn't take away from, you're still,
it's family. Still me living for myself there.
Yeah.
It's not me living for my family, mm-hmm. which is the point of my vocation and really the point of all of us, to live for God and live for others.
Yeah.
Because that's the preparation for heaven. And I think that's the thing that I've been really maybe praying with and thinking with from this passage for the last 2 months is that Dimitri was able to become Christ-like and see that meaning and look outwards and say that I'm willing to even suffer terrible sufferings because I know it's worth it because I exist and that is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And that I can actually do something with my sufferings. And I think these vocations, if you look at married life, the priesthood, the religious life, consecrated single life, it is all about committing and vowing to something outwards. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, God, and you come to know God through your marriage by completely learning how to love and give yourself to your spouse. Right? You mirror that Trinitarian love and prepare yourself. But that's what they're made for. It is become Christ-like and die to self. And there's beauty in that. Mm-hmm. And that stripping away is tough. It's that image of the great divorce, the red lizard on the shoulder.
Oh yeah.
It's like, no, like it's part of me. That stripping away is tough and it hurts. But how beautiful is that process? Me as a 22-year-old versus me now. There's things I would change about myself now, but there's so much growth that has happened in 10 years. Mm-hmm. Mostly because of the grace that God has given me through a vocation of gift.
Yeah, and I think his character just beautifully displays because he was a man who was passionate and constantly chasing whatever was right before him. He was very compulsive and would go extreme highs and extreme lows, mm-hmm. but it was all focused on him and what he needed or wanted in that moment or a reaction to something. And it is in that stripping away, right, that he finds that purpose. And I think it's just, it's the same thing for myself. It's when I learned that, again, it's not always about me, and that there's a greater purpose and calling in life, and it's our mission where we're at in life to find that, mm-hmm. and to live it and to do so, right, in unison with Christ, and to understand where failure and suffering has its place and has its meaning. And then it's going to ultimately help you with this in those trying times to understand that even amidst sorrow and suffering, we haven't lost the plot. We still understand it has meaning, Me and everyone else who experiences the same thing in different ways, mm-hmm. is still drawing closer to God and has its purpose in loving others and loving God.
And the perceived suffering within myself of like tonight, I actually, there's a new podcast that was just released and I really want to listen to that tonight. But at the same time, both of my boys are asking me to play two different games at the same time. And there's that like dying to self of, I really want to feed myself or my want in that moment of listening, mm-hmm. to that podcast or watching the show or something or being on my phone. Mm-hmm. And how often is it like, it sounds so stupid to call it suffering, to put that right down and go play with your kids. But it is like an effort and a hard thing and a stripping away almost. I don't know if that's the better word of it. It's a stripping away of self to go wrestle, to go teach them how to play catch, mm-hmm. which ultimately ends up being so much more satisfying in the end because it's not about me, it's about them. And I find so much joy in seeing them happy.
Yeah, and it's in each moment that we have those successes where we choose that, we're strengthening the will. So the next time we're just gonna have these natural inclinations where we're gonna wanna choose the thing that we're gonna see is immediately more satisfying. I mean, it's gonna come to the mind of everybody. If it's presented like, do I wanna help my daughter read through a chapter book right now? Or do I wanna go, spend time doing something, my own thing? Like, there's going to be an inclination of like, gosh, I wish I maybe was somewhere else. But in reality, like, there's that recognition of this is the good, this is my mission, this is what I'm called for. And when I live that, you're right. You're so much more fulfilled. You understand that, that you've fulfilled what God has called you to. You've ordered your will to His.
I hate saying that it is like an admission of my own like weakness that like that is a dying to self to me.
Yeah.
You know, like at the end of the day when I'd rather just put my feet up, but I'm like, you know what? I should go in above and beyond and wash more dishes and make things clean because it'll make all of us happier.
Yeah.
That moment has to be a dying to self, says that I have a lot of work to do. But at the same time, that dying to self is so necessary in this process, in this formation and transformation.
But I mean, you've heard that where, you have these people who are zealous to die for the church or to die a martyr, or like they have these big grand plans for how they're going to show Christ that they love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've talked about that before, that it's in these small moments, right? It's these small moments and opportunities to choose the good or to choose self, right? It's in those small victories that the saints are built and made, mm-hmm. not in these spectacular moments. Some people will be presented with those and will heroically die or given that way. But more than likely, it's you and me choosing not to sit down, but to address the need of another,
mm-hmm.
right? That's how we grow in virtue and ultimately end up being receiving the strength and the grace.
And learning how to not to waste these opportunities.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of marriage and having a family is filled with so much happiness and joy. There are moments of struggle. There's mm-hmm. moments of pushing yourself. How often have I wasted those moments of offering that suffering up? If I could be like Dimitri in that moment and say like, no, let me offer this up for the babe. Like, I do this, but I need to do it more. Let me offer this up for the hearts of my students. This moment when like Lucy was being a party animal last night, she's just bug-eyed. Like she'd be waking up at 3 a.m. We can't just like kind of rock her. She's just like looking up. Those moments, that's tough. I love mm-hmm. sleep. Let me offer up those 30 minutes it took us to get her back down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we had a huge weekend planned. I was thinking of this at the end of the weekend. I'm like, I wasted this whole opportunity. I was moping and kind of like sulking this whole weekend because we lost all these opportunities. Why can't I just offer up some of this sacrifice, redirect and restart and do something different? Mm-hmm. I wasted that opportunity because it was a sacrifice.
Yeah.
To see that my kids couldn't do the things that they wanted to do and we couldn't do what we wanted to do. That was hard. But am I able to use that as this moment of, let me be Christ-like. Let me die to self. Let me offer up my suffering like he did.
Yeah. As just laughing, Mary does such a great job when Sienna calls out to me in the middle of the night to find something that's right next to her or to ask me a question that doesn't need answered right now. She does such a wonderful job of just reminding me that she won't always call out and need her father. And yeah, I can offer up those moments where I have to be stern to go, no, honey, your binky's like 2 feet to the left.
Yeah.
But also just to not waste those moments, like you said, like every opportunity is a chance to love and to appreciate the gifts we've been given. And yeah, Sienna is not going to always want her father to come and give her a hug and kiss.
And so seriously, dude.
Gotta take advantage.
They grow so fast.
I'm fine.
I'd say a few takeaways. The desert brings clarification.
Mm-hmm.
To enter into this Lenten season, modeling what Christ did. But in our lives, to remember that we are supposed to be modeling what Christ did. He came down and gave us this example, learning how to die to self, to take on the criticisms, to offer up the pains, because the payoff is so glorious. Like Dimitri said, I can suffer, but the beauty still is that I exist. I have a soul, I have meaning, I have purpose, and the love of God is so powerful and will do so much for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And just the idea that these vocations have meaning and purpose. So as you're kind of discerning your future or you're in your vocation now, to remember that there is an end goal. You are in that vocation for a reason, to become a better person and to help other people. It is a vocation of gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And and to be a gift, there's someone who receives that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he brings up the point where I want to suffer for people.
Mm-hmm. I'm going on behalf of all because we're responsible for all.
Exactly.
All right. Well, hopefully you got something out of our blabbering today. I think it was helpful. We have a special guest actually that just came in for our shout outs. First of all, Paul, do you have any shout outs?
Just want to shout out the advancement team here at Central Catholic. And that has nothing to do with our guest.
Nothing to do with our guest. Shout out to
Allison,
people.
Allison, you are the rock that this school is built.
Woo!
100% Allison Tarr.
Anyone pick up that voice? We have the Kevin Cook with us. Hopping on the mic.
How's it feel, Kevin?
Long time listener, first time caller.
It is. Long time emailer of nothing of importance, but... No,
I've enjoyed your emails. Do you have anything you want to say to the public?
I would, so we're doing shout outs,
yes,
right? It's the only thing I got to be a part of. I have no idea what the topic this week was, no. So I can't wait to listen. Shout out to the Fund for Central Catholic leadership team.
Let's go.
Of which Joey Head.
Yours truly.
Is a team member.
I know I opened up my mail last night. So I got a letter from you and Joey signed it. Best regards.
best regards.
So. I don't know. I thought it would be funny.
But no, appreciate that whole team of volunteers, current parents, past parents.
It's a good crew. I enjoyed it.
It's a good crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a little signing party, Super Bowl Sunday.
That's right.
Hosted by the Weed Welts.
Yeah. But Kevin, we enjoy you, your presence, your company, and what you do for our school community.
Yeah, we do. Hey, I enjoy the show, and I appreciate all the donors who also make a contribution in honor of Boys Lunch.
Yeah, we honored.
We give him a shout out at the beginning of the episode.
The beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
The universe's best podcast.
Yes. Absolutely.
Not the world's best podcast.
Not the world's best.
Now that there's aliens.
That's when we'll have Kevin on. That's when we have our discussion.
You want to talk about aliens sometime?
You probably don't want me on here for that conversation.
Anyway.
I have real
time. We hope you guys have a good start to your Lent.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
For the kingdom.
For the kingdom!
Let's go.